welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders Podcast Series. The goal of this podcast is to bring semiconductor experts together to get to the truth about the matter at hand. We'll get right to the point and not exceed 30 minutes of your time. If you have a topic you would like us to cover, please post it on semiwiki.com and we'll get right to it. Hello and welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders Podcast Series. With me is my partner, Mike Gianfagna. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dan.
The topic today is the upcoming Design Automation Conference. This is actually the second in our series, and our guest is Ambar Sarkar. Ambar is a member of the DAC Executive Committee and is the chair of the Designer, IP, and Embedded Tracks. Welcome to our podcast, Ambar.
Hi, thank you for having me, and good to meet you both, Mike and Dan.
So first, we always ask how you came to the semiconductor industry.
Hi, glad you asked. So I was always interested in these electronics and design and all, but my real love became when I was actually an undergrad back in India, where we were supposed to make a project on an Apple. And it was written in BASIC. And what I did was I hacked the Apple code, BASIC code, and made it so that it always worked in favor of me. There was a little game that we're playing that would sort of let you guess something, and I hacked it so that it would always say whatever I typed in was correct. And from there, I got this passion of this electronic design and software. So I kind of grew up this love for both software and hardware. And lo and behold, this design automation industry is the perfect culmination of that, design and hardware. So after I got my doctorate from University of Virginia, I just didn't spend any time, quickly joined the EDA industry as a software developer.
Ah, that's interesting. You know, I got exposure to a computer in high school, and there was a chess program, and I figured out if you take the computer's knights, then he always lost. So I would sacrifice my queen for the knight. But that brought me into the software world, and then of course, you know, I wanted to figure out the hardware. And so I think it's a very common story, and it's just an exciting industry. I came into EDA after about 8 years with computer companies that made their own chips, so I worked at fabs, but. Back then it was all hardware and very little software. Now it's quite the opposite, but it's good to have experience with both, right?
Right, absolutely. It's great to sort of connect at the low level, get your hands dirty both physically and through your keyboard. So I love it.
Yeah, so tell me a bit about the designer, IP, and embedded system tracks. Give us the backstory and what they cover.
All right, so let me just summarize it, right? These are the tracks, technical tracks, and they are created in such a way that they appeal to the engineers. The engineers at heart, like whether you're coming from the industry, academia, or government. They wish to learn and discuss the best practices, share their experiences and enthusiasm, and love to network. You know, and who are these people? Well, these are people such as like architects, designers, verification engineers, system folks, solution architects, name them. Essentially people who are responsible for products, all right? So this was the track. Now, you know, a lot of innovation goes on in the work that's being done by my colleagues such as these, but it's very hard to get them to share their work over like detailed research oriented papers, right? It takes a lot of work, and given all the tight schedules, it's very hard to get these people to come over and start talking about their work. Plus there are some policies, etc. One of the points of having these people over, and I relate to that very closely, is that if I go to this conference, if I get one or two ideas, that is the latest best practices, and share the experience and bring it back to my team's productivity will go up, right? So the idea was, how do we get these people to come up? So this is why these tracks were created, so that we can make it easy for engineers such as these to share their work without putting in too much work. So, and think of the scenario where having these engineers and these practitioners who can share their work side by side with the research community, right? What kind of potential cross-pollination can occur? So based on these, around like 2010, I believe, if I'm correct, this initial set of tracks were designer track was created, which were essentially the primary EDA tool users. All right. And in addition to that, there was also, I believe, an IP track, which was which involved aspects of IP creation, usage, and deploying them. Now, interestingly, the designer track clearly separated into two subcracks. One was, you know, you talk about RTL to GDS2, like essentially the logic design and verification up to the synthesis stage. And then after the synthesis is done, a lot of the backend work begins. So we quickly saw this designer track split out very cleanly into front end and back end, and then there was IP track. And in addition to that, there was also the embedded systems and software track, which was also very popular. So these are your four tracks, the designer track with the front end and back end, and then the IP track and the embedded systems track.
Yeah, you know, having a presentation in DAC is quite an achievement. So give us a little insider tip. You know, how do you select your presentations?
So there are two kinds of presentations. So now note that I mentioned these four tracks. These four tracks have a large community of technical program reviewers that are associated with them. I'll tell a little bit more about them. But the idea is that we have two kinds of submissions. So one are the invited submissions. Essentially, we send out call for contributions and people submit to these tracks based on their interest. And the second one are the invited sessions where the track chairs, the chairs of each individual track go out and seek out some interesting topics to present, invite presenters to come and share their work. So as for the first one, which I will call submitted sessions, the call for contributions go out. And once we get the submissions, they are peer reviewed by this technical program committee. Now these submissions are not full-fledged research papers, right, as I mentioned earlier, but they are usually an abstract along with a few number of slides, which is good enough to get a very good idea of the work and the novelty of the work that's being looked at. So, and what we found out that this easy format so that people can very quickly submit whatever work they're doing without necessarily, you know, spending too much time, works very well for the paper submissions we get. So once we get those, there's a rigorous review process. And this technical program committee are specially selected, hand selected, and they contain people who are like rising stars in their field to established experts. But once these papers are received, we have this bidding process where we match the reviewer to the paper. And then we typically strive for at least four reviewers per submitted presentation. Now I'm calling them paper. Please use the term paper loosely in the sense that this is actually a presentation, not necessarily a full-fledged academic paper. So that was one of those where we sort of call for contributions and you know, get it peer reviewed. And the second way is the invited sessions. So this, as I mentioned, is that these track chairs, they look around, they understand what the trends are in the industry, and then seek out experts in this field to talk a little bit more about at some depth about the work they do. And these sessions are somewhat free format. The submitted sessions are usually a lecture-type presentation or a poster presentation, whereas these ones can be lecture-style, could be a panel discussion, could be a mix of both, but whatever it makes to communicate the work that's being done by these experts. So these are the two ways we sort of create our presentations.
Thanks, Amba, that's very helpful. It's a question. You know, I've always felt that DAC is something of a leading indicator of what's next, what's the emerging topics, and what's the new technology. So with that in mind, do you see any trends across these tracks, specifically this year? Can you see something emerging that maybe is new and different?
Absolutely. So let's see. So remember that one of the beauties we have is that because we have such a wide selection of the reviewers, technical program committee, and they're looking at all the submissions. So we are representing the entire industry as it is today. And there are people who are looking into the vision, you know, are experts in their field and looking to the future. So that colors the kind of papers that are coming through and add value. So one of the things that happens is that if you say today, let's see, what is trendy today? Well, machine learning and cloud, right? These are kind of very interesting topics. Is that something that we see as a trend? And your guess will be absolutely correct. So machine learning and cloud related submissions, we get quite a few of them. Another one, given all this self-driving cars, et cetera. So functional safety is a common cross-cutting theme across all these tracks. Another thing that has been happening consistently over years is this raising this level of abstraction. Whatever field you are in, if you're functional verification, you are trying to do it at a higher and higher level, or if you're doing design, you're trying to sort of do it at a higher abstract level. And then the other part in the functional side is something like applying static techniques. So instead of trying to do something over a simulation-based approach, can you do some analysis directly, which gives you better coverage? So those are some of the trends that we are generally seeing. So I think the way to look at this this set of tracks is that the emerging trends are the trends in the industry that's reflected by the paper submissions that are coming into it. And the trend, as you are probably already aware, and I do have some of my favorites coming up, and I'm sure we'll get a chance to talk about those, but you are pretty much spot on if you're looking at cloud, machine learning, and even open source hardware topics such as RISC-V.
Yeah, that's interesting. All of those topics are things that, you know, if you rolled back the clock 5 years, you'd probably see little to nothing on them. So this is a fairly dramatic shift in a fairly small period of time. I get that. So you touched on it just now. I'd like to kind of focus on that a little bit. What are the sessions you'd like to highlight? What really do you feel is exciting and as kind of a must-see at DAC this year?
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, as I already mentioned, the submitted sessions, they're there, but I think I would also like to, I didn't get to speak about the specific invited sessions, right? So I absolutely must see, I recommend, you know, given the track that you're interested in, definitely go check out the submitted sessions, and they are both the lecture style presentations as well as posters, and we can talk a little bit about that. But the other side of the coin are these invited sessions. So let me also mention those. So for example, we have these invited sessions where the chairs, you know, kind of felt the pulse that's going on and spoke and invited presentations from various experts. So you will see topics such as, you know, cross-pollinating between hardware and software domains or making your IP secure. There's also, interestingly, we see a couple of these sessions that are talking about how to apply your standards effectively in your flow. Of course, there are others that are related to cloud and how you can, you know, scale up very fast in your machine learning applications by applying cloud to this, you know, even in areas such as silicon design and manufacturing. And last but not the least, I do come from a deep functional verification background. And if you heard of the term UVM, then you know it's getting mature, but there's plenty to talk about it, and you will get your heart's content to that effect. So these are the sessions that you will definitely find very interesting. And the one way that the audience or the listeners could go to is go and check out the program schedule on these tracks, and you will find all of these areas reflected in the conference schedule.
Okay, thank you. That is a lot of interesting material, and you're right, it does reflect a lot of the forward-looking trends that everyone's talking about. So focusing on the schedule and the agenda just a little bit more, what's new for this year and something you're really excited about? Is this something that kind of clears that bar that you'd like to talk about?
Yep. So there are two things I wanted to talk about, okay? So one of them, you mentioned trends. So every year we keep an eye and sort of self-selecting into the topics we get submissions on. But this year, that you mentioned that bar, and bar for cloud was high enough so that we had to actually take one of the tracks and dedicate an entire day of that track to clouds, right? So we have like really interesting cloud sessions for novices, as well as how we scale up cloud, as well as some submitted papers that talk about cloud. So this is new. I'm pretty excited that we were able to sort of come up reflecting the trend that here goes a day of cloud on this track, the front end track. And I believe this will continue in the future. But that's one thing. Okay, I'm very excited about that. I'm looking forward to it. But the other first, and I like the name, and I don't know if you've heard about it, something called the Poster Gladiators. Have you heard about that term already? Maybe Harry mentioned it earlier.
So I have. This,
okay, well, so here, let me give you some ideas, okay? So, you know, when we select our submissions, we choose to either have them presented as this lecture style or as more intimate one-on-one kind of poster sessions. Both have their merits, right? But one of the things we in the past we did was we sort of, when we presented the best paper or best presentation, we primarily focus on this live, the lecture style presentations. And we said, wait a second, we are peer reviewing this excellent quality of work out there. And we need to highlight those. I mean, there's a lot of excellent effort being made to create these posters. And these are the ways where I have heard personally from people who enjoy this one-on-one close interaction between the presenter and the audience which you cannot do from a lecture style. So there was this massive set of posters that are out there, and there are a bunch of them that the technical program community really liked. So what we wanted to do is to give them some more exposure so that we can sort of share with our audience that these are some of the best handpicked posters we got this year. And a great way to present them would be that in addition to their one-on-one, let's bring them out on stage and have this, like, you know, present their stuff in a lecture form and let us select the best poster presentation out there. And then there will be a panel of judges. So the gladiator would mean that the posters will come in with some specific costumes and the judges will throw our thumbs up and down. Well, we may not go all that way, but it will be an interesting session. And this will be essentially these posters that are highly recommended, where presenters will get a chance to talk about their passion. And then as an audience, we get to see, and the judges will select which are the best posters. And we believe this will be a fascinating event. I'm really looking forward to it. And also the judges will consist of past DAC chairs and experts in these fields. So that's what is poster gladiator session for this year. This is new. And please, please make sure you make a point to check this out.
I love it. That sounds like a great idea. You know, the passion that you mentioned often in a lecture style presentation, there's kind of no place for that. In fact, it can be viewed as over the top and gets in the way. But in a venue like this, bring it on. This is going to be entertaining, fun, and informative. I love it.
Right. And you know, one thing I relate to it myself at a deep level, we are extremely proud of the fantastic work we do. And any chance we get to share this with a bunch of peers who appreciate the kind of work and can relate to it can only be a good thing for cross-pollination and, you know, moving our industry forward and ahead. So I love events like these.
Yeah, if you need a judge or anything, let me know. I would look good in a gladiator outfit. So sign me up.
So, truth be told, we are working on the costumes and also the diet of the gladiators, because I heard that, you know, the gladiators were prized. They did not get maltreated. They were fed nicely. And nobody killed them. So we will be very humane to our poster gladiators and the judges.
As long as I get a sword, I'll do it. So
there you go.
So how does someone attend the designer, IP, and embedded systems tracks?
So there are a couple of ways to attend it. I mean, if you happen to be a full conference attendee, then your registration includes access to all these tracks. Now, separately, you can also register specifically for these tracks. So on the registration page, if you go, you will find that you can select the options of attending the designer IP embedded tracks track. And it covers pretty much everything except the research specific sessions. So there's one option for if you just wanted to focus on these tracks, you can register for that specifically. And you may find the word diet being mentioned as a short form. That diet has nothing to do with the so-called diet, because given the buffet of content you're looking at, I don't think you should skimp on anything. So there you go. So if you can select the diet track there. And then if you are looking for the actual content being presented, search for on the pop-up menu, you will see designer IP and embedded track presentations. And in addition to that, I mean, one of the things is that we are constantly trying to sort of improve ourselves. This has been a very difficult year, but I think the team did a fantastic job pulling this thing together. However, there's always things that we look forward to hear from the community, good or bad. Do not hesitate to contact any one of us in the executive committee, including myself, to sort of see any feedback you have, both positive and negative. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love the interaction and participation.
Well, I'm looking forward to DAC this year. You know, it's hybrid, so it's live and virtual. But, you know, things are going quite well in San Francisco in regards to COVID and such. So I think there'll be a pretty good attendance. And I think the people that do attend will be very qualified, because, you know, you have to jump through a few more hoops. But, you know, it's the 58th DAC. So, Ambar, how many DACs have you been to? Where does your experience start with?
You know, so I have not attended as many DACs I should have liked. Yeah, given that I've been in this field since 95, maybe I have attended about 7 or 8 DACs. So I hang my head in slight shame, but I've enjoyed each and every one of them. And I've been attending regularly for the past few years.
Yeah, you know, when I graduated with my bachelor's degree, well, the first thing this company I worked for, they sent me to DAC and they wanted me to do research on the software applications, which was EDA. And this was in 1984. And wow. So the DAC was in Albuquerque, New Mexico. So seriously, I was like a month out of college and they sent me to this DAC. And it was so exciting as a student, yes. You know, as a recent graduate. But back then, DAC was quite wild. It reminded me of college, you know, and it was just amazing. So I did all this research on EDA, and that's how I fell in love with the EDA business. But this will be my 37th DAC, I guess, because I've gone every year.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow,
I think Mike, you predate me, right?
Well, yeah, my first DAC was 1977, and I've probably missed five of them between 77 and present day. So that's a lot of DACs. You know, there's one thing I just mentioned quickly, Ambar, that you said that resonated well with me, the whole idea of presenting research to an audience that appreciates and understands the impact. When I went to DAC in 77, I actually presented on a factory data collection and analysis system, sort of an early version of statistical process control. It was at mm-hmm. Caesar's Palace with a huge auditorium. Those were the days when you had the 35 millimeter slides and you prayed to God they weren't upside down or backwards as you clicked the next slide. And I remember being scared to death until the first minute of my presentation. I saw people in the first row smiling and nodding their head, actually understanding what I was talking about. And it was just right. Uphill from then on. I mean, the fact that people in the audience were connecting with you and actually interested in and understood the work I was doing made all the difference in the world. And I think that's still true today. That hasn't changed one bit.
And to that, I will also personally vouch that, you know, we as, you know, in the industry or even academy, we work very hard, but sometimes it's very important we step back a bit and go out there and listen to our peers, talk to them and come back. I guarantee you, your productivity and how you feel about your work will become far better than if you didn't go to it. I honestly feel that myself, and I always enjoyed that level of energy that you feel like the world is in your pocket kind of when you go to these conferences and meet with people. So I just love that thrill. So.
Yeah, energy is the appropriate word. You do draw energy from the audience and from the interactions, and yes. Like-minded people can, you know, do incredible things when they start thinking about it and talking about it. It's true.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, one of the nice things about the semiconductor industry is we're surrounded by just brilliant, brilliant people solving some incredibly complicated problems. And, you know, it's just amazing the people we get to, you know, associate ourselves with. And DAC really is the hub of that. You know, I think it is the most important conference in our industry. And, you know, it's just so good to have it back, you know, live and, you know, back in the Moscone Convention Center. But, you know, Mike, I think my favorite DAC moment, and you were involved in this, was when we published our book. We actually, you know, Paul McClellan and I wrote a book on the history of the fabless business, and we published it in coordination with DAC, and it was in San Francisco. And Mike, you were there. Remember, we had like 1,000 copies that were signed in one of the DAC parties.
How could I forget? You and I carried those damn books from the front curb down to the convention center. I'll never forget that.
Yeah, you were with eSilicon, and you were one of the sponsors. In fact, I think you paid for the books, Mike.
I believe so. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. You had a line out the door and around the block to get a signed book. It was really kind of cool.
Yeah, we actually, I think it was 800. We actually signed 800 books, Paul and I both, and my wife was there handing them out. And I tell you, you know, the people in there, that the young faces were just amazing. You know, our industry at that time seemed kind of old, but the young people just came out in droves and they wanted copies of that book. And it was just an amazing experience. I don't think I've ever had, you know, a more pleasant professional experience like that. But it was all about DAC, really.
And you know, so you bring something. So I am hoping many more such events coming down the pike for DAC and any conference that's coming back, but specifically for DAC. I also believe in this imprinting part, like you both of you mentioned that, you know, like when you're first DAC, when you're, you know, just coming out of college. And I always believe that your first experience with a high quality stays with you. So for me, coming to the DAC early ones, you know, it has stayed with me. That positive experience kind of inspires me because what you're doing, you're starting out in a career, you're seeing how we'll get there and the kind of people we look up to and being able to talk to them. I mean, DAC offers you that opportunity. So it will be really important to sort of also have people who are just starting out fresh to get a chance to attend these. And even if they can't attend the entire sessions, they should take part in some of these you know, smaller, more targeted sessions, and they will meet a lot of people. And of course, networking is one of the key aspects of these live conferences.
Yeah,
we're going to have a book signing at this DAC as well. Dr. Walden Rhines wrote a book called Predicting Semiconductor Business Trends After Moore's Law. And he's going to be signing copies at the DAC cocktail party. So I think that's Tuesday night. So book signings are just exciting. And Wally Rhines is a great guy. And it really is a good book. You know, DAC is going to be exciting this year for sure.
Absolutely. And thanks for the tip. I will be out there in that cocktail hour.
Yeah. All right. This is a good place to stop. I want to thank you, Ambar, for your time. And thanks for everybody for tuning in. And we'll speak with you again next week.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me.
That concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening and have a great day.